As I told some people, I hope this is everybody in yeshiva. Whoever misses Vod might feel a little bit awkward tomorrow morning meeting me in yeshiva. But the topic which I chose for tonight's Vod has been something on my mind for a little bit. I talk about it in a moment, but I think it's a new phenomenon. I wouldn't use the word crisis, that's overused, but definitely a new phenomenon that has expanded in the world, in Klal Yisrael, and I figured the best way to address it in Flatbush would be to send a letter to the FJJ, but here in the real world, with the Musar Vod. So, for all our audience listening from abroad, Homakom Shehem, tonight's Vod, the topic, it's written kind of awkwardly, on top in Hebrew, but the simple title you'll find on the website to find to track this Vod is awkward, maybe with an exclamation point at the end. Awkward is a word which I probably used somewhere in my later teens, maybe early 20s. I don't think I uttered the word when I was 12 years old. I definitely don't think I uttered it when I was 6 or 7. More than not being part of my vocabulary, it wasn't part of my mindset. As a kid growing up, date myself, but 80s, 90s, like, huh? There's no such thing as awkward. Now, we'll get to in a moment, there are crazy scenarios, which, yeah, probably the best word to describe it would be awkward. But there is a big difference. In the world today, almost everything, as I'll show in a moment, people define as awkward. And it seems like it's growing a concept, an issue that people deal with mamash on a daily basis. You know, there are some scenarios which innately were awkward even in my times. I was recently thinking about a story someone told me that unfortunately they were sick in yeshiva and they couldn't make it to Seder and they were sick in bed. One day, this goes back 40 years ago, this bachur was learning in Chafetz Chaim Yerushalayim. One day he is sick in bed, comes out to go to the bathroom in his bathrobe at about 11 o'clock, 11:30 in the morning, and he's walking around the dorm there in Chafetz Chaim Yerushalayim. And lo and behold, he sees three figures, three different heights. A tall man, middle-sized man, and a shorter man, all with white beards, semi-white. Shorter of the men was the great one, Reb Avram Knarek. This might have been short in stature, in size, but great in stature. From Knarek Shlita, on the Rosh Yeshivas, was going around the dorm together with, was a little bit taller than him, Rav Moshe Chait, Zatzal. They were going around with even a taller figure, even a greater figure. That was none other than Rav Yoshev, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The yeshiva recently moved into their new building in the top of Sanhedrin Merchevet, and the yeshiva had multiple shilas about mezuzahs. And being the fact it was 40, 50 years ago, and Rav Yoshev wasn't as busy as he was later in life, and the yeshiva had a connection with him, Rav Yoshev made a house call to the yeshiva to come and check up their mezuzah shilas. Can you imagine what the guy in yeshiva felt when he comes out in his black socks, black robe with a stripe on it, and bumps into his two Rosh Yeshivas and none other than one of the Gedolei Hador, Rav Yoshev, and it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and he's in his bathrobe. Yeah. That's awkward. That situation spans a test of time. If you feel bad if you're in that guy's shoes or slippers, there's nothing wrong with you. That's completely normal. But fast forward 50 years, and awkwardness affects just about everything. I'll leave his name out of it, but imagine in your mind who this might be. I have a friend of mine who is let's describe as a very with it Rebbe. Dresses well. People look up to him, literally. And he has tremendous respect, connection with his Talmidim. And he told me for years, as an event, he'll offer Talmidim here and there, hey, you want to come with me to Starbucks? Quick walk. And he told me just recently, after years and years of taking guys to Starbucks, and guys thinking it's like the ultimate thrill, like, oh, with the Rebbe, you know, Starbucks. All of a sudden, he's gotten, sorry, Rabbi, that'll be awkward. Shata his heart. Like, me? Like, what's wrong, Rabbi? It's awkward to go with a rabbi to Starbucks. This is one of many cases. My kids, so many scenarios, so many things. Sorry, Dad, that's awkward. Like, what? Huh? Someone told me that they were once walking a story of a teenage girl walking in a mall with their father, who, as they're walking down the halls, the pathways of the mall is like singing to himself, not crazy loud, but singing to himself. And she keeps on jabbing him. Dude, stomp, we're in public. Okay, you might think it's a little awkward, but when your father is a world-renowned singer, that shouldn't be so weird. But people have hypersensitivities, very nervous, feel out of place, and there's definitely a proliferation of feelings, not just in more scenarios, but it's something that affects a person, many people, on a daily basis. There are so many things. I have to walk into an elevator. The guy's going to start, if I go in the elevator, I might go with another guy. And what if we both go to the fifth floor? That's like 10 minutes. I'm waiting for the elevator. Forget it, I'm going to take the stairs. Or until the guy makes a decision, right? Queens, they say it's a big phenomenon problem, right? Okay, it's one thing. Right, there are guys who walk in straight into the elevator and like don't turn around, like stare at the wall, right? Yeah, so I'll get to that part later. Awkwardness making weirdness. That's a different problem. Yeah.
Should people talk?
So I'll get to all this. Yes, I'll get to all this. Very good point. So if you'd ask me, I have to give another example because it's just too good. I thought of it just right before davening last night. When I started dating, which was not so long ago, people still ask me for dating advice. But when I started dating, the common practice in yeshiva was, before you went out, you called the girl, you set up the date, then you went out. That was the common practice. 90% of the guys called the girl before you went on the date, schmoozed for a few minutes, not much to talk about, you schmoozed, whatever, 5, 10, 15, whatever minutes, not a long conversation, set up the date, and then go out. There were some people who, I can't do the first phone call, so it was probably like 10% of the guys. And by then, okay, the shachar was set up the phone call, set up the date, and you would meet for the first time a little, you know, a full blind date, deaf date, whatever you want to call it. See no evil, hear no evil. And you show up at the front door for the first time, you know, you say hello, and she says with a very strong voice, hello. You're like, oh. But okay. That's what goes on in the world, in the shidduch world today. Yesteryear. Today, it is absolutely, the numbers are probably 95 to 99% of the people do not call the girl before they go out. They just show up at the door. Why? I can't call her. That's awkward. They're awkward. Right? Shh, hold on. I think one of our branches just blew his cover.
Is
For the tape, that was Ezri. Anyway, it doesn't help for me to give you their phone number. But there are many. Okay, we'll hawk on all my examples, how mukhrich they are and not. And, okay, fine. Okay, anyway. I suppose you were showing me Nelson before I did this vod. Now. Now, the purpose of this vod is not so much to understand fully the root of where this comes from. There probably are multiple factors. First and foremost, there is a concept we do believe in called Niskatnu Adoros, which, contrary to some others say, but Niskatnu Adoros is something which we believe in many, many areas. Rosh Hashiva would say it's not just intellectual understanding, it's physical strength. It's for sure the Rosh Hashiva used it in terms of emotional things. He used to say, if the older generation was tissue paper, now forget about you guys are just, you know, dust. For sure, emotionally, as the generations go on, B'derech Klal, of course, there are exceptions to every rule. Niskatnu Adoros is a general rule. But people emotionally are not as strong. And yeah, the fact that more things, same way people have more allergies, you know what? People also have more things. Awkwardness is some emotional allergy. I'm allergic to this. I can't handle this. Right. Okay, some things. But so one thing could be a general Niskatnu Adoros. I believe probably a second major contributing factor to this growing phenomenon of awkwardness is the fact that people have very bad social skills. You'd think in the social age of WhatsApping, texting, emailing, Facebooking, all these things, you think people are more in touch than ever with all their friends. But in truth and reality, a lot of these things are very shallow. A lot of these things are very short. And a real bona fide relationship or social skills where people are talking to other people and not afraid of different new scenarios they're put into outside of their comfort zone, people are very weakened. And you could be on your phone hours and hours of the day, but your social skills are not going up. If anything, they're going down. And I assume that's a major contributing factor to this too. And I think in general, society itself, once these type of things, once it catches some people, it spreads to others. My kids, it's not from the social media. It's, you know, maybe it's Niskatnu Adoros, but it's also, once people have it, it spreads, and it becomes just a feeling of society of just awkwardness. I can't do this, that, or the next thing, all because it's awkward. Now, being that that is a metzias, we are living in the hypersensitive, awkward world that we are. Al pi hashkafa, al pi musar, what should we do about it? What should our reaction be? So the first and foremost, there's an Or HaTzofen in this week's parsha. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to give you the greatest task, the greatest shteller of all time. I want to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Obviously, tremendously important position. Future of Jewish history is totally on this. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes and pushes off Hashem. No. I don't want to go. We'll get to in a moment why part of the reason for that was. But one of the factors involved in that was till now Aaron, his brother, was the leader of Klal Yisrael, his older brother. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to displace him. Didn't feel it was right for him to take the position. Aaron's feelings would be hurt. And because of Aaron, to protect Aaron's feelings, that's why Moshe turned it down. So the altar makes a very important point, which is applicable in so many scenarios, even beyond awkwardness. He writes, Va'od, Shim Aaron hay be'emes mitzayra kach. If Aaron would be upset about Moshe Rabbeinu being the leader, even though he was better suited for the position, halo ha'itzar zeh lo kishura. This feeling of hurt that Aaron would feel is not the right feeling. He's not correct in feeling that. Ki ein min adin sheyachid yamos chuso apratis b'shas haras olam zek shura begulos klai yisrael tasko abria. If Aaron wouldn't be, says, no. I want to be the one to take B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Well, if Hashem feels Moshe is better than that, and like, how selfish could you be? The fate of Jewish history is resting on this position. Oh, I want to play point guard, but he's better, and everything's riding on this. Don't you think you should let him do it? So if Aaron would insist, no, I want to be the one to do it, to have that hargasha was a wrong hargasha. Uvechozos, hischashi b'zeh Moshe Rabbeinu, v'siru b'glom l'kabos m'sima l'agdola hazos, shetol l'vakash baruch hu v'amalo shlach n'amiyat tishlach. We see from Moshe Rabbeinu's actions, and al pi Moser, of course we pask, and this is Mochrach, and this is a Chazal, and this is Halacha. Halacha is the sensitivities that we talk about. Ma'amavnei chavei b'rabim, and not hurting onas dvarim, hurting a person's feelings, and this applies to a feeling, even if it's unjustified, even if it's wrong. Aaron would be unjustified, Aaron would be wrong for being standing up for such a feeling. But nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu respected that. Not just respected that. He risked his life, gave up being the man of Yisrael to protect those unjustified feelings of Aaron. And therefore, we're both said what that means is, even if we understand awkwardness to be a weakness within a person, to be what you might call an unjustified feeling within a person, I'm not sure that's even true. Could be once these feelings just expand and explode, it's gotten odorous and all this and all that, what can you expect? These are people. I'm not even sure it's called unjustified. But even in Tim Salomar, you tell me all these hypersensitivities that people have in the world today, even if you tell me they're unjustified, and the quote-unquote wrong feelings, halacha l'maisa l'gabe somebody else being careful and trying not to hurt the other person's feelings, halacha l'maisa, you see from the shmuz, a person has to go out of his way, quote-unquote, risk his life, not to make another person feel awkward, not to make another person have negative feelings. Really, I found, the Orach HaTzadikim says this out also, Beferish. He says, Yargo Adam Atzmo, a person should accustom himself. Shal Yasa Dover Shachavir Mispayish Lomarlo. You shouldn't do something which your friend is embarrassed about. Gano Adam Shiashal Seser, a person has a secret, person who has like a cellar. Finichnas Eslo Chavir, his friend goes into it. Mispayish Lomarlo Lotzes. Right? They have this all the time. Bosai, Al Shabbosim, vacation's coming up. You go to a person's house. So sometimes guests have a problem that they overstay their welcome. What does it mean you overstay your welcome? It means you're spending time by this person's house, you're doing this, really, you know, by now you should have left. Elamai, look, I say, they didn't tell me to leave. They didn't tell me they're, not doing anything because I'm still here. They didn't tell me that. Well, the reason they didn't tell you that is because they feel awkward to tell you. Can you get lost? You've been here for like a few days. You ate us out of house and home. What else could go wrong? guys end up in someone's house. Right? He says, guy's not going to say something to you. Start reading your friend's writings, or in our days, his texts. And the guy left his phone there. And he feels uncomfortable telling you, don't do that. Chok ha-yotzu b'zeh, yedaktik ma'olud b'davar. The Orach HaTzadikim tells us, we have to be very careful. Shol yachbid atzmo b'shem davar. Or v'shol yashol shem davar mimenu b'matano. Hashol kelov ma'usah b'malkam sh'yodea. Sh'nol z'baratzim b'zbayin shol ashram b'nav reikav. I remember a Talmud of mine in Brooklyn. He borrowed, in quotes, a sweatshirt for one of the Beis Medrash guys and wore it day after day after day after day. At a certain point, the the Spanish guy sort of like asked for, or the high school guy talked about giving it back. He wore it for like 3 weeks straight. Now, once someone wears something 3 weeks straight, it gets the shame it's that guy's sweater. And that's when the guy went back, is like, it's your sweater. I feel awkward for me to wear my own sweater. The guy said, forget about it. But you shouldn't. The Orchid of Deacon was talking about that case too. So a person has to be very, very careful about someone else's feelings with these things. Then the Or Chazikim says the opposite. Umisha yeshlo midos abusha, kashol shechaver misbanish mimeno. Really, a person who has his own sensitivities, he himself is embarrassed of these things. So you know what? If you have the right midah, you would be extra sensitive when it comes to your friend. You know that you would feel awkward in these scenarios, in these situations. So you know what? You have to protect your friend. He also shouldn't feel awkward in different situations. Now again, this is all even if these awkwardness are crazy and they're unjustified and they're weird. Doesn't matter. That's the first shmuz. That's the Or Tzafon. And the Or Chazadikim spells out clearly cases you have to keep in mind. Just because a person doesn't kick you out or doesn't say something or does this, it could be because they're awkward. And that's halakha l'maisa, something to keep in mind. In the world today, there are so many interpersonal relations now where the shayla now, I'm thinking myself as a Rebbe, paskin the shayla, Rebbe, what do you think about this? You have to take into account just because the other party is not speaking up, not saying something, that's not a riot to anything. Shtika kol da may not apply in many cases because I have a taina why I wouldn't say anything. I feel it's awkward. That the Orchid Tzaddikim says, it's justifiable, it's explainable. So the first step, the first, I believe, halacha l'maisa that comes out from the fact we're living in a hypersensitive, awkward world is, number one, that we ourselves have to be very careful, be aware of other people's sensitivities, and those sensitivities apply even if they're, quote-unquote, unjustified and wrong. And two, we should know that people have those feelings, and therefore, you know, be very careful not to in any way infringe upon them and use our own awkwardness, at least in a positive sense, to be very careful for someone else. That's the first area I call respecting people's sensitivities. However, part two, really, of this Vod, is what I call moving past awkwardness. Is even though the Metzias is, Lagabe is somebody else, you can't simply change other people's midos, regilos, is whatever these are. It's very hard to change. But when it comes to yourself, that's totally different. Many things in Musar, Lagabe is somebody else. In some ways, there's more Lagabes in Musar than there is sometimes in Lamdas. Lagabe is somebody else. You have to be Mechab in him, you have to do this and that. Lagabe yourself doesn't mean you do the same thing. You give someone else cover, doesn't mean you take the cover for yourself. You're careful about someone else's sensitivity when it comes to awkwardness. When it comes to yourself, l'chora, this is one of those things that a person should move past. And I'll tell you why. Also in this week's parsha, it's pretty amazing. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? I can't. Why can't you? Kvar peh, kvar lashon. Can't speak. Now, for the record, that's like my bathrobe story. That's something which is understandable. That's something which would be uncomfortable all times. It's not a new phenomenon. But just put it in perspective. Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, asking him to take the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Like we said before, the most important task ever. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that he has a lisp. He has a speech impediment. He's had for years. And with like all the cheshbonos, like think about it. You're going to be like Hashem's talking to you. Okay, that's step one. Right? Hashem wants you to be the leader to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Another big madrega. You're going to go and shock the modern world. Paro, Mitzrayim, we're going to wipe the floor with them. Through you, we're going to bring about all these awesome miracles. Can you imagine what your head is running about, all these ideas? Hashem, leader of Klal Yisrael, saving them, rocking Mitzrayim. But I speak weird. Like, that's what's flashing through your mind? Teretz says, yeah. When you have an impediment, when you have something you're uncomfortable with, even Moshe Rabbeinu, but I have to deal with this. I can't speak well. Everything else, all the big things in Klal Yisrael, all these. But Moshe Rabbeinu was like fixated. Again, I'm not sure we find in here any tain on him from Chazal for this. This is just taiching up Kol Chnef, just what a person is. But a person who has something that he's uncomfortable with, something, a weakness, you feel very uncomfortable with it. You feel very self-conscious about it. And it could be the biggest things in the world could be going on, but you're going to be fixated, you're going to be focused, but I have a problem. And it gets even worse. And this is an interesting thing. The end of this week's parsha, really the beginning of next week's parsha. Hashem tells Moshe, you know, speak to Paro. So Moshe Rabbeinu has a response. When he went to the Bnei Yisrael at the end of this week's parsha, they didn't listen to him. So he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to go speak to Paro? I went to the Bnei Yisrael, they didn't listen to me. So, Eich Yishmereini Paro. How do you expect Paro to listen to me? Zakt Rashi, Zeh Echad Me'asar Kavachomer Shabbatayr. This is one of the 10 Kavachomers that appear in the Torah. It's like a good Lamdin. What's the Pircha? So if you look at the Sif Sechami, he has a beautiful, beautiful Kasha. He says, skipping halfway through, Ve'ikol Mifrach, Pimtomer Ikol Mifrach, the Mashal Shamu Yisrael Moshe Hanukkah Moshe Befarsha Pasuk Leel V'lo Shamu Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Mevod Akasha. The pasuk testifies what was the underlying reason why the Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't because he had a speech impediment. The reason why the Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to Moshe was they were overwhelmed by the work. V'lo Shamu Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Mevod Akasha. They were overwhelmed. Paro played with their minds. They didn't have a moment to think. The Masil Shasharim talks about this in the beginning of Zahiros. Tichbar Avoda Al Nashim. That's why they didn't listen. They were just overwhelmed. They couldn't think. What's Moshe Rabbeinu to make a Kav Chomer? Oh, if Yisrael didn't listen to me, Paro's not going to listen to me. Yisrael didn't listen to you because they were overwhelmed. So that's nothing to do with Paro. Paro listened to you. So what's the Kav HaChomer Moshe Rabbeinu is making? And for the Sif Secham, the Yesh Lomar, the Moshe lo yadei ashol shamu lo b'shvil kot zarech. El huso v'shu b'shvil shu aral so asayim lo shamu lo. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think that. Moshe Rabbeinu's a smart man, no? Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to him. Take them to Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Moshe says, I have a Kav HaChomer. The Yisrael didn't listen to me yet. Paro's not going to listen to me. Moshe Rabbeinu, a smart man. Don't you know there's Pirach and Kav HaChomer? Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to you for a different reason. Or also a sign. That was the reason why they didn't listen. Well, excuse me. Kotzer Ruach Mevod Akasha. Why are you assuming it's a Ralso Asayim? Rabosai, the Teretz is when a person has an impediment, a weakness, he's very self-conscious, and it just takes over his life. Really, I think that's part of the taitra of everybody. Pal Gan Shmuzi said a couple weeks ago, last week maybe. When people have a weakness, when people have an area they feel they're wrong, they did something wrong, or they have a pagam, then you're overexposed in that. You're hypersensitive to that. And the effects of it go beyond what the weakness itself is. You blow it up. In your mind, if you have a pimple on your face, you walk into a room and think everybody's looking at your pimple. Not true. Most people aren't. Don't even recognize it. But you're sensitive to it. You look at every eyeball. Hey, is he looking at me? That's a mentality that even someone as great as Moshe Rabbeinu had. Kol Shekein Anan Ketanim. Of course we have such feelings. So we have to realize that awkwardness totally affects our lives. And it's something we really have to work on. I found this beautiful Sefer Milos Amidos. He also talks about this type of busha, awkwardness, and he has a very strong line. A lot of times, awkwardness, we'll see in a moment, comes up as a person has to interact with somebody else, has to give a person positive hashpa, maybe tochacha, and your awkwardness is, I can't do that. So the Milos Amidos is a very strong line. He says, as somebody who's paralyzed by this feeling of awkwardness, of busha, that's worse than the mida of Azaz Panim. Now, Azaz Panim, you look in the next paragraph, Miles Amidas, he goes and describes Azaz Panim, he's like, doesn't have fear of Hashem. Very, very sharp rebuke of someone who's an Az Panim, someone who's an absolute chutzpah. But this mida, which in a certain sense is a polar opposite, you're not an Az, you're very weak, wimpy. But you know what? Miles Amidas says that's worse. A very, very bad midah for a person to have. So, ideally, what that means from a person, beino lebein atzmo, is working on awkwardness should be a priority. I'm sure it's the first priority. People have many things to work on than this. But awkwardness is something that a person should try to work on. It's something that's going to blow up, not just the little scenarios of cases. It's going to affect your life in many, many ways. So, how does a person work on awkwardness? So I have two etzas for tonight. Number one is I call overriding feelings. First etza is, look, forget about working on it head on. You have these feelings, it feels awkward. But you know what? Especially when you have a certain scenarios where it's awkward for me to do this, but what's the reason why you want to do something? If you build up, for example, person wants to help out and be a positive hashpa on a younger person. Same time, there could be a certain feelings of awkwardness. I feel around me, this, him, I don't know. He's gonna look at me weird. Feels awkward. Okay. But if you build up in your mind the mila of what it means to have a positive hashpa on this person, and you build it up, and you build it up, and you build it up, a person is able to override that feeling. You have, a few weeks back, Yaakov Avinu comes down, Parshas Vayetze, comes to the well. After 14 years sitting and learning, slept one night, ends up by the well, and he comes, and walks in, and sees these people he never saw before in his life, all these shepherds, and they're chilling on company time. Yaakov Avinu never met them in his life. Achi, Bosai, shouldn't you be at Seder? Shouldn't you be working? Like, that's a pretty awkward thing to do. You never met these people in your life. You said to them, Achi, I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Achi was the Hiskarvus. Okay, Shkayach. But you just like never met them and you start giving them Tochacha. Sounds pretty awkward. Teretz says, you're Yaakov Avinu. You understand that you yourself could have a positive hashpah on these people. You're an ish emes. Your words have sincerity to them. You expect them to listen. So you know what? Yaakov Avinu's overriding drive to help out in the world, to be a positive hashpah, overcame any feelings of awkwardness. It's weird. That's an innately weird situation. This is not, of course it's awkward. But, well, Maisa, you overcome it. Hold on. Okay, after. There's another story. I remember hearing this. My father would say this over. Famous person named Ramir Shuster, Lav HaShalom. He himself should be a household name because there are many unsung heroes of the Baal Tshuva, the Kiruv world. He was towards the top of that list. He was this Yid who basically hung out by the Kosel all day and literally talked people into going to yeshiva, and he was the biggest feeder to all the yeshivas. One man show, Ramir Shuster. Stam, it's an amazing story. How he decided to go into this job. One day he was a quiet kol guy. He was on the bus in Eretz Yisrael and he struck up a conversation, ended up having a conversation with the person sitting next to him, and he had a positive hashpah, and he realized well, I could have a positive hashpah on people. And he decided, okay, this is my tachlis l'chaim. I have to go and convince people to go learn in yeshiva. But he had one big problem. He was not exactly the smoothest guy. Like some guys, Reb Shaya Cohen, you put him by the coal cell, you know, he has no problem striking up a conversation with every guy there and woman and everyone in between. He has no problem. Not Reb Meir Shuster, Lo Vashal. He was not smooth. He was probably, you describe him with the word awkward. So what did he do? He walked over to the guy. He said, do you have the time? Are you Jewish? Would you like to go to yeshiva? Not exactly the smoothest approach. Probably a little bit awkward. But why did he do it? Because he just had an overwhelming drive. I want to help out in Klal Yisrael. And by having that focused, overwhelming drive, I want to do this right thing. So even I'm sure it was awkward. I'm sure he felt uncomfortable. But the feeling that I want to do this, I feel an achrayus, this is a mitzvah, something I have to do, overcomes it. So I think we have a lot of scenarios of awkwardness that comes up vis-a-vis us doing a mitzvah, vis-a-vis us being in a positive hashpa in somebody in a situation. And if a person builds up the milah of that scenario, of that situation, that'll help him overcome the feelings of awkwardness. But I have a second etzah. This came from a friend of mine. He told me one time he was on a date. And he was dating this girl already many times. And they were sitting there on the date. At one point, they just went quiet. I guess you'd use the word after a few moments. It was awkward silence. At least that's what he thought. And this guy, the dates were going, he was dating her for a while already. The dates were going well. So it was flashing before his mind. He wasn't ready to get engaged this day, but he was starting to think in those terms. I'm almost ready to get engaged to this girl. And then this awkward silence happened. He told me, Bepe Mele, he said, I started doubting everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to marry this girl? And like, we're nothing to say to each other. For like 3 minutes, we're just sitting here. Oh my gosh. And the whole binyan that happened over the past few weeks is starting to crumble. When all of a sudden this girl looks him in the eye and says, we'll call him Aryeh. It's okay. It's okay for us to be silent. You have to talk all the time. He said what she just did was pierce his mindset. His mindset was, this is weird. This is awkward. We're quiet. And everything started unraveling. She just put it back together. She framed it in the right perspective. Whoa, time out. You have this perspective that we constantly have to be... He didn't even say anything to her. Maybe she read his mind. She's like, no. It's okay. The way it works, you don't have to be talking all the time. I think couples are always talking every minute. The guy says, Taka, you're right. She busted his perspective. And now they live happily ever after. A lot of awkwardness is all about a mindset. If you're able to pierce the mindset, reframe the mindset, sometimes not so easy. If a person is able to do that, taka, not so crazy. I was thinking about my earlier example of shidduchim. This is a good vibe. I got a lot of shidduchim stuff here. Earlier vibe of shidduchim. That I was thinking to myself, you go over to a secular person, go over to someone who's not familiar with the shidduch world, and you tell them, what do you think is more normal? For a guy to go out on absolute, what we call it before, a blind deaf date. You never spoke to this girl in your life. You never saw her. And all of a sudden, you show up on her door, hey, let's go out. Or, option two, is you first at least call her, grant you never met her, and then you go out. Bosa, the second thing in the world happens 100 times more. Right? They meet online, they meet over the phone, they meet here and there, and then they go out. That's much more normal. So what's more awkward? Not to call or to call? For some reason, the firm world, or at least in the Chofetz Chaim firm world, I think in other worlds too, it's become in vogue. No, we can't do a first call. You can't. goes back. Can't do the first call. It's awkward. Buddy, you're just setting yourself up for another awkward thing. No, this is more awkward. The whole thing is silly. It's stupid. It's a mindset. You frame it one way, it looks one way. That looks more ridiculous to me than that. If you would ask me, that's more awkward than this. So it's a trend. It's a mindset. But those things could be pierced. Those things could be broken. So those are my two etzas. Number one, to put yourself in a situation sometimes where you have overriding feelings of override the awkwardness, or sometimes to work head-on in the awkwardness, and mamela, that will undo it. I'd like just to end with one interesting story. When I had the schluss of learning in Eretz Yisrael, so really, I didn't have any close relatives there. And I guess the first time we went away, I'm trying to remember, definitely the first big time, Eretz Yisrael is basically every man for himself. Josh Dopkin does not go around asking if you have a place for Shabbos. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's where I go into Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so I remember Sukkot time, I went with one of my friends to one of his parents' friends, his nice family in Har Nof, Kastner family. Okay, fine. Well, I went with two of my friends. We went to their house. Wonderful Sukkot, it was great. After Sukkot, my friend left to go back to America. Grata, the other friend, also went back to America, 0 for 2. And okay, I was still there in Eretz Yisrael. I still didn't have any places to go. So what happened next to Al Shabbos? So I decided to call that nice family that had me over for Sukkot. I think about it, it was pretty weird. Like, I personally had no connection to these people. They were friends of my friend's parents. If you had asked me to describe that situation, boy, that's pretty awkward. But you know what? I decided to do it. But here's my point. Had I given in to my awkward feelings, I never would have made that call. I would have missed out on the most tremendous, rewarding experiences of my life. This family basically adopted me. My 2 years in Eretz Yisrael, I went to them basically anytime I wanted. They were very close. Ad Hayom, I still have some kesher with them. All because I overcame what normally would be an awkward situation. I took advantage of life, of the opportunities. Rabosai, when you live life being constrained to situations where it's awkward, you're missing out on many opportunities. We should all be zocheh to take life and all the opportunity that it gives us.